Now, very interesting and I think unusual article called The Fallacy of Irishness was published recently in the University Times. And the article was written by Fionn Regan, and Fionn is with me now. Hi, Fionn.
How's it going? How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. Fionn, what inspired you to write the article in the first place?
Well, it's an interesting thing. You see, I'm deputy opinion editor at the paper, so I have to submit an article each month. But it's a topic that fascinates me. I suppose the thing about being Irish is that we're obsessed with our Irishness. I most certainly am. I think it was Brendan Behan said that most countries, most people have a nationality, but the Jews and the Irish have a psychosis. So we have this idea that we love being Irish and we constantly talk about being Irish. And it's interesting, what I like to do with a lot of things is you have to kind of take these kind of large socially accepted truths and you have to start breaking them down. You have to realise, well, actually, what does it mean to be Irish? I identify myself as Irish, but what exactly does that mean when I say that? And the problem with being Irish or being any nationality is there's several issues with that. There's the one term that a lot about being Irish is completely arbitrary. I mean, you can say that for any nationality. Because we have to think, what is it based upon? Am I Irish just because I live within Ireland? Am I Irish because I live within these borders that define a country that's called Ireland? And then, yeah, then if that breaks down, you consider it in European context. Why is one person French? Why is one person German? I mean, then you consider people who live on the borders and people in Alsace-Lorraine who say, well, am I German or am I French? We consider it in Irish context. You consider, if you look at the fact that you go back through history and we consider someone who might have been an Ulster Unionist living in Donegal on the 5th of December 1922, and they would have been very happy to have said, yes, I'm British. I am a citizen of the United Kingdom. And then on the 6th of December 1922, when the Irish Free State was founded, they suddenly found themselves being no longer British, but actually Irish. So this is the thing, being Irish is completely arbitrary.
Yeah, and you make the point as well in the article that by saying that you're Irish, you're inferring that you're not English or you're not French. And, yeah. You know, even by making that distinction, if you like, are you even indicating that being Irish in some way superior to being English or French? I mean,
see, this is the other problem with defining yourself by your nationality. See, once you accept that it's based on an arbitrary basis, then you got to realise, the original title of the piece wasn't actually The Fallacy of Irishness. It was, Is It Racist to Be Proud to Be Irish? I like doing these kind of tongue-in-cheek kind of articles. It's a huge, sweeping comment to make, and it gets a lot of people ire up as well, which is very funny at times.
Yeah.
But technically, when you consider it, it is actually racist to be Irish or to be proud to be any nationality, because it's an exercise. See, nationality is an exercise in division. Nationality is a segregating device. So, see, when I define myself as Irish, I'm calling upon people to identify me as Irish. And when I identify myself as Irish, I'm saying, well, actually, this is me. I am from Ireland. I identify with this Irish culture, which means I am not English. So don't call me English. So what happens there is, because when I say I'm not English and I am Irish, I've created this division. So then you got two sides. And then I got to accept, well, if I define myself as Irish, well, then clearly it's better to be Irish. Because the fact is, I mean, most people with a kind of a normal level of self-esteem will accept that they want the best for themselves. So sure. If I'm accepting that I am Irish, then I must be accepting that I'm accepting the best for myself. So therefore, I must be inferior to be English.
Yeah.
Which is plain illogical racism. Yeah. You can't say that,
Yeah, and if you you mentioned there that, obviously written tongue-in-cheek a good bit of this, but also in terms of people's reactions, what sort of reactions did you get to this article and what sort of feedback have you been getting?
Most people actually enjoyed it. They liked the idea. Now, there's three comments left on the actual, because the thing is, when you put it online, you open it up to a lot of different reactions. Now, there was one reaction that was very interesting. He enjoyed the way I defined what my Irishness was. You know, my Irishness is a ideologically conflicted contrast of paradoxes. Everything is contrasting with one another. But what happens is he started arguing. He had this idea that, I'm just trying to find a comment for us now, Basically, it's wrong to think that we need, in order to kind of accept a globalized world peace, we have to have this kind of homogenous culture.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is a lot of the time when you put an argument online, people don't quite get what your argument is, and they'll actually branch off it. And the thing with most arguments is most people are always right. Both sides are always right. Everyone's right in a certain way. So what happened was my argument was that in order to achieve world peace, really, you would have to. My argument was that to be Irish can't exist in a globalized world, because they're mutually exclusive. You can't do that. You can't be Irish in a world that is globalized. And the issue of living in a globalized world, we would have world peace. We would have a homogenous culture. Everyone would be happy and all this kind of thing. The only thing is, though, my argument is that I'm not willing to relinquish my Irishness to live in a globalized world. So people had this idea that they figured I was actually arguing for globalization, whereas I actually wasn't.
I think I love the line you have in there, which I think sums up probably one of the sort of dilemmas, or it's a very, very Irish way to be, which is that you say, I champion the local, but abhor the incestuous and prying nature of parish pump politics.
No, absolutely. Like,
it's that whole dilemma of you know, loving to be local, loving to be Irish and all of that, but then not wanting people nosing into what we're at, you know?
See, this thing about being Irish, our identity is a whole lot of kind of contradictions.
Yeah.
I say in this one here that I'd like to speak Irish and I'd love the Ga.
Yeah.
The fact is, though, I don't like the Ga. I find it incredibly boring.
Right.
I don't speak Irish because I think it's a dying language. But I wish I did.
Yeah.
It's all about, because a lot about being Irish is kind of just being completely at odds with yourself and being completely at odds with everyone else, but then still feeling completely intact.
Yeah, and I love the bit that you're from Kildare, but you live in Dublin, pretend to be urban, and know that, you know, you can't go by a year without one visit over to the West, because, you know, it's good for the spirit. So
It's mad that we believe in these kind of things. Like, we wax lyrical about these kind of things. We talk about, how the Irish landscape. And a huge part of being Irish is mythologizing everything. Like, I study history in college, and a huge part of our history is mythologized. Pretty much the entire thing is just one giant myth that we have these accepted truths. I remember writing in the Act of Union when Ireland became part of England in 1801.
Yeah.
I remember being in sixth year writing an essay, and I put down this sentence, the Act of Union, the blackest day in Irish history. But the fact is, the Irish actually called for the Act of Union 30 years prior to that.
Right.
So we have these kind of all these wrong,
yeah.
we have these misconceptions of Irish history and what to be Irish is. But it's all about having this kind of contrasted and conflicted identity. And it's what kind of, it kind of adds to the variety of being Irish, and probably what makes it so interesting, the fact it's so complex.
Yeah. And you did argue in the article, I mean, you're not, as you say, you're proud to be Irish, and you're not actually looking for this to happen. But one of the points or the arguments you put over in the article is that one that you mentioned there a moment ago, of nationality soon being outdated. And, you know, we're becoming more homogenous as we go along. And I like the reference where we all LOL at Jennifer Lawrence and Benedict Cumberbatch, and then, you know, the Dodge references and all that. I mean, there's a sort of a global language and a globalization through, I suppose, the internet and social media in particular.
No, absolutely, because the fact is, I mean, this all ties into this idea of globalization. It's where you achieve this kind of harmonious existence amongst everyone. And instead of being English and Irish and Scottish and Paraguayan, you'd actually just be an Earth citizen. You'd just be people. Because we're all one of the same. We're all equal. So what's the need of actually creating this distinction between all of us? So then the other issue is that, and this is an argument I'm coming up with lately, it'll be my next article, is that Irish culture doesn't really exist. Now, it's a difficult, difficult one to argue.
I wish you luck with that one.
I'm still working on it. It's incredibly problematic, but that's very attractive. But a lot of Irish culture, I mean, especially nowadays, we consider Irish culture and we consider English culture, we consider an American culture. we actually share a homogenous globalized culture. We all like the same things. We all speak pretty much the same language. There's always going to be certain idiosyncrasies between us, but as we become increasingly more globalized and as society becomes more multicultural, and it sounds like a kind of it sounds like it should work the other way, but as we become more multicultural, we actually kind of have a uniculture, as every culture starts to contribute to one.
Yeah.
So basically, we consider people coming from Eastern Europe, and we consider people coming from Africa and all over, and they come to Dublin and they come to Ireland. Well, instead of actually assimilating into one Irish culture, we get this multiculture, which then becomes a uniculture.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, it's important, very important point, and also, astute observation as well. But the other point you made there, you talked about language and a common language. And one thing I've noticed, and I don't know if you agree, or maybe here's another idea for another article for you, is around accents. You know, particularly, and this has not been ageist or anything, but, you know, in relation to older people tend to have stronger accents. You take the sort of deep Donegal accent or the high-pitched Cork or Kerry accents, you know, even within Ireland here itself, you know, whereas the younger generation, that degree of difference between, you know, the accent of somebody from Dublin or Kildare, Cork, Donegal, it's less so, isn't it?
It's completely true. I mean, I always figured that I had a very non-accented accent until I went, like, I'm from Kildare. Well, I'm originally from Talla, moved to Kildare when I was about one, so I don't think I really had the accent at that stage.
Probably not.
But when I used to meet friends in Dublin, they would think I had a Gaeltacht accent. And now I'm living with three lads from Wexford in Dublin, and I'm starting to get a Wexford accent. But then, as you're completely right, accents are a lot stronger in older people. But I think that comes down to we have a kind of... we're exposed to a lot of different cultures through the internet, through TV, through media. And what happens is we kind of get this, once more, you have this uni-culture and then you have this uni-accent. I mean, if we think of South County Dublin, who used to wear them back a few years ago, where you still have a Californian accent.
Yeah.
But I think it all comes down to exposure to different kind of accents, whereas older people would have had less exposure to a variety of accents, therefore their accent would have climbed stronger, especially people from Donegal, that kind of thing, where you wouldn't actually leave Donegal. You would stay in Donegal, therefore your Donegal accent would become stronger and stronger.
Yeah, I think that's probably very, very true. We're exposed to more accents, so therefore we're picking up a little bit of everybody's accent that's influenced.
It's not a bad thing at all. If anything, it's probably brilliant.
Well, at least we can all understand one another a little easier.
Exactly.
Fionn, listen, I'd love to talk to you about it all day, but we're out of time. So I just want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. And it's an excellent article. If anybody wants to read the full article, it's up there online. As Fionn said, it's universitytimes.ie, I think, Fionn, is it?
Yeah, that's it. No, thanks very much. I was absolutely delighted. This is my favourite thing to talk about, so I would talk all day about it. But thanks very much.
You're very welcome. That's Fionn Rogan there, the Deputy Opinion Editor at the University Times there. And that article is called The Fallacy of Irishness. And it's a good read, but don't take it too seriously. Do remember a lot of it is tongue and cheek. And he is not arguing against Irishness. He's actually arguing for it, as he told us there.